Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
That makes me feel better about what I get paid.
Well, yeah, it takes you 2 1/3 days to work an hour. So whatever your 2 1/3 daily rate is, that's...
Have you just worked out that, because Tim speaks for 6 minutes an hour, he works one hour every
2 1/3 days.
Every 2 1/3, that is amazing, Tim. Anyway, hold there.
It's every 2.5 days.
Every 2.5 days, Tim works 1 hour. Brilliant. Yeah. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Yes, it is.
Hello and welcome to this. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Tim's away in work, working 1 hour every 2.5 days. Hello, Tim.
Hello, JB. Hello, Phil.
Let's just listen. Oh, sorry. I've turned you down, mate. Here we go. Common mistake. Hello, Tim. Let's do that again.
Hello, JB. Hello, Phil. I'm in the Egg Chasers TMO shipping container. There are Welshmen with pitchforks outside.
What? And, of course, that laughing you can hear, the monotone, boring laughing, is Phil.
Hello, JB.
How are you, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good, mate. Very good on this fine Valentine's Day evening.
Yeah. By the way, do you notice that I played the height joke on AJ McGinty?
I did notice, JB.
Right. Are you aware of what the height joke is, Tim?
The height joke?
Yeah. So basically, men are very, very precious, particularly larger men, about how tall they are. Now, I'm about 6'2", maybe 6'3" in heels or something, okay? Maybe. I'm around that range. But I say I'm exactly 6 foot. And the arguments that I have with people who think that they're 6 foot or who are 6 foot or 6'1" is incredible. So AJ McGinty wouldn't leave my house until he proved that he was 6 foot. I said, you actually can't be, because I am 6 foot. So he's
that's a good ruse, and also an amazingly shameless name drop as well. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we do talk about rugby. So.
Backdoor bragging.
Yeah, well, he was in here for Rugby Dungeon, so that's why he was here.
I know that. Now, listen, one question, as it's Valentine's Day, if you had to date a rugby player, who'd you date?
Ooh. Who would I date? That's a good question. I'm just trying to think. Probably. Do you know what? I'm going to go for one of the small French scrum halves, because I think they'd be quite easy to wrap in polythene and like dispose in a canal afterwards.
Which one?
I don't know.
Saran.
Well, yeah, one of the smaller ones.
Machinaud.
Yeah.
DuPont. Para.
Machinaud is cool.
Machinaud is very, very handsome.
Yeah. Do you know what? I couldn't. I'd feel inadequate next to Machinaud.
You'd definitely be taller than him.
Well, yeah, he's not going to be falling for the 6 foot game.
What about you, Phil?
I was admiring Francois Houhard over the weekend in his guiding Worcester to their victory at Sandy Park. He's a hell of a specimen. And he could drive me around in his Lamborghini.
Mm.
What? Yeah.
He's got a Lamborghini that he constantly posts pictures of on Instagram.
Oh, does he really have a Lamborghini?
Does he drive that into the car park at Six Ways, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah.
That is Marland Yard levels of spending there.
It's serious levels of spending. Upwards of 200 grand's worth of car.
Oh, my God. Now, I know you're too sensible to do that, Phil. I'm actually too sensible to do that. Tim?
No, well, especially where we live. I could have a car just parked off the road on my driveway and it would still get bashed up.
Yes. Yeah, round here is a nightmare.
Terrifying of spending money on a car. I would go, do you know what? I wouldn't go for necessarily for his looks, but just for pure bants and just being one of the warmest, kindest.
James Haskell.
Sensitive. No. Donal Crowe Callaghan would be my choice. Another Worcesterman.
Where were we? Oh, because we were watching some of the rugby in Madrid over the weekend, there was an Irish feed for it. And I noticed there was, I didn't catch the title, but it was some cooking show or culinary talent show with Donal Crowe Callaghan.
Was there?
Yes, but on Irish TV, Irish TV
how
feed.
How come I didn't notice? Was I too busy talking at you?
Talking or tweeting, one of the two things.
Ah, interesting. I did not see that.
So if you're aware of it,
look into that one.
Yeah, if you're aware of it, point us in the direction.
Excellent.
So I suppose the point of this one is it's a midweek domestic podcast, but very briefly, can we just go? And we do not want to go into it, and I'm not.
Do we not?
That.
Shall we not do
we
it then?
Do not want to go into it, but can
let's
we
not
just,
do it?
Just don't very do it. Briefly skirt around the whole TMO thing with World Rugby.
Yes.
Coming out and having a comment on whether it should have been a try or not, and Eddie Jones not being happy about that, and Rob Howley bringing it up in a press conference. Where do we stand on that?
I don't want to bring it up. Phil?
My question is, I've only seen Rob Howley say World Rugby have said that it was a try. I've not actually seen World Rugby say that World Rugby are saying it was a try.
I will have a say.
you can't resist.
No, I will. And this is what I'll say. It's the most boring story I've ever heard. Every game of rugby has some controversy. And if it didn't, why would we bother playing it? Rugby largely is a game of one controversy followed by another controversy by another controversy. Just get over it. It's fine. Leave
that
it at that.
That is the sanest thing anybody has said in the last 4 days.
I've not really... Do you know what? I mean, I've seen it on BBC, and I've not really seen much about it on Twitter, really.
Oh, there has been quite
a bit. I
mean,
maybe it has on the Egg Chasers. No, seriously, I haven't really.
Listen, I went on Monday morning, I got a call about 7:30 in the morning from someone at BBC Wales who'd seen a tweet that I put out and contacted me, called me up, managed to get my number, called me up and said, could you come on the Jason Muhammad show at 9 a.m?
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Good lad.
At 9 a.m, I went on as like an Englishman with all these Welshmen just absolutely going for me.
Ah, now it's all becoming a little bit more clear. Right, okay, that's pretty cool. What kind of feedback did you get?
Oh, the whole thing about it's so weird, the myopia that just. The one eye that people will look through, they'll go, yeah, it might have been a knock-on, but actually that's not important, it was a try. All that matters is grounding.
So but, I've been thinking about this, I'm not convinced it was a knock-on, though.
Anyway.
I'm not convinced the finger made the ball go forward. Or that, I'm not even sure his finger touched the ball, it might have touched his thigh, and the finger might have made it go sideways.
All I know is if the TMO was judging a knock-on, and that was Johnny May on the left wing, and it meant England won the game, where there would have been exactly the same outrage.
Hang on, sorry, I don't care about any of this subject.
No, I just, the one thing I will say is I don't like World Rugby coming out and making statements, whatever they said. And I don't like that Rob Howley brought it up in a press conference. I'm kind of with you in principle, JB, which is get over it. And that, I would want someone to say that to me if I was...
Get over it, get over it.
Bleating on.
Tell him, Phil.
Yeah, let's get over it. It's a good point.
There you go.
Yes.
So why are we here today? What was the point of this podcast?
Midweek domestic podcast, MWDP.
Excellent. Should we talk about last week's games then?
Well, given that so much time has passed, do we want to go into... I'd suggest we don't go into any depth about last week's game.
But I'll tell you what I'm...
Maybe pick up a few of the key talking points.
Right, okay. So I'm going to tell you some talking points. And shall we get into some rumours as well?
Well, there's been quite a bit of transfer activity this week.
That's exciting. So, I've got some rumours. Okay, so, the first rumour, which I can tell you is categorically not true, allegedly, is Sale might be getting a tight head prop in Longy Monopola. How do you ever say him?
Lugovi Mullipola.
Thank you. Wow, I butchered that name. he allegedly was coming to sail. That doesn't look like it's happening now. So maybe they had a look and maybe they didn't. But if
Dave Denton is going to Leicester.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing, eh? So where are Leicester in the table? Eighth?
Eighth or ninth, yeah.
So Leicester plans to improve their eighth place team is to take two players from the 11th place team. And that, to me, stacks up nicely.
I am pretty uninspired by this.
I'm not, actually. I think Will Spencer... I know
Will Spencer, that is a good signing.
That's a great signing. And it isn't just David Denton. Now, I'll talk more about him in a minute, but it's David Denton, and it's also the lad from Wasps, Guy Thompson.
Yeah.
So, actually, what they lack is a ball carrier, and now they've got a bit of depth at ball carrier. I'm not that adverse to it, actually.
But yeah, no, they're okay, but they're Guy Thompson's an absolute workhorse, got a brilliant engine on him.
Good carrier.
Kind of can play any position in the back row. But they still... Dave Denton just strikes me a little bit as Callum Mahoney Mark II.
Interesting. So
exactly my thoughts, Tim. Exactly my thoughts.
I've got a question for you. Is Dave Denton a good player? Will we ever work out if he is a good player?
Well... When he goes to Leicester, we'll have another chance of him being in what should be a historically good team, like when he was at Bath.
Yeah,
he didn't really do anything at Bath.
Nothing.
I am certain he's an exceptional athlete.
I'm with you here.
He's enormous. He's fast. He's strong. He's explosive.
Good hair.
Great hair. I'm not sure he's a great rugby player.
Yeah,
because I've just never seen. I've seen the individual parts. I've never seen it all put together.
Yeah, you see flashes, don't you? So, like, a few years ago, he was excellent for Scotland. And then he sort of is okay for Edinburgh. And then he goes to Bath, he doesn't cut it. And then he goes to Worcester and nothing, really. But then he plays well again for Scotland.
Yeah.
And now he's gone to Leicester. So, who knows?
Go on, Phil. Well, I was just going to say, they've got Callum Mahoney, Guy Thompson and Dave Denton. I can't help but feel that this is exactly the same as the Harlequins hooker problem for the past few years.
Mm.
They've got three okay ones, and if you put all of the skill set of all three together, you might get one good one.
Yes.
But they don't have... For the money that they're spending on those three, they could get one very, very good number.
Do you know what the difference is between the Harlequins hooker problem and the Leicester carrying problem?
Go on.
What's that noise?
I don't know.
Hear that?
Yeah.
Anyway, here is the difference. The difference is you can only play one hooker at a time.
True.
You can play three back rows.
Quinns frequently play two hookers at the same time.
That's how bad their hooking options are. So, you know,
but that is a fair point.
Yeah, you know, you can play all three of them, and also they give you different dynamics, don't they?
Yeah.
So they've only got Brendan O'Connor, who I really rate as like a traditional back row operator,
and Will Evans, I guess.
Yeah,
they're both kind of the Fetcher style open sides,
but they can put out a big ball carrying back row. It's certainly a big abrasive back row if you include someone like. Mike Williams too. So you'd have Mike Williams, you'd have Guy Thompson, and you'd have David Denton. That's a pretty abrasive, pretty Zimbabwean back row.
Abrasive, potentially a little bit lumbering, but well, no, maybe not. No, Guy Thompson's the one that I'm really excited about for Leicester next season. Mark Bakewell is the new forwards coach that's going to be overseeing them.
Yes. Now this wasn't announced, was it, in Excuse Fest 2018, which was the Leicester the Leicester board meet the fans on Monday. Were you following this on Twitter?
I was aware of it happening, yeah.
Hang on. Yeah, so Excuse Fest 2018, and I'd like to know everyone's views on this, because I've had some thoughts. Was the board, I think the chairman Peter Tom attended, certainly the coaches did, and they explained basically why they're eighth this year. Now, the few things that I found weird was, who's Jed Glynn? I mean, like, I know who he is, but why does his job not exist in any other club?
So what is his job? Because I don't know who he is.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So there is the chairman of Leicester Tigers, who is Cohen, right? And then there's head of rugby, who is Jed Glynn, who was formerly a scout, and looking at his past, he was a good rugby player, but never a top-level rugby player. And it seems to be he's in charge of the recruitment. He's almost like a director of rugby, I'd guess. Like, so head of rugby.
Yeah, but not a
director. Bearing in mind Wasps indiscretions with not a breach. It was described as an overrun on their salary cap. I think it's probably quite a complicated plate to spin.
Well, maybe, yeah. But I'd understand if it was chief accountant, you know, or something like that. But from what I understand, it's somewhere between Simon Cohen and Jed Glynn. These are the lads that go out and choose the players. So that's something. Now, the other thing which came out of Excuse Fest 2018 was, basically, it's all Cocker's fault. So they were saying, yeah, since I've taken over, this is from Matt O'Connor, the game has got more physical, it's all more about collisions, and because of the squad we have, we couldn't compete. Well, that's weird, because, you know, they've been to the playoffs, what, the last 13 years. Yeah, 13 years. But since Matt O'Connor took over, no, it's completely changed.
Well, yeah, he actually says law changes in the game have made it about collisions more than ever. And given the recruitment in recent seasons, we're a bit shy in that area. So blaming his predecessor.
Yeah.
I don't think that's totally unfair for the reasons we were just talking about in terms of back row.
Well,
look at the back row, Matt O'Connor.
I mean, yes and no. Quiet. Okay, but everyone's back rows were basically the same before the law changes, and the good teams have stayed the good teams, and the bad teams have stayed the bad teams, except for Leicester, who have dropped down to eighth place. So I'm not necessarily thinking that he's got that right. And as the coach, he should somehow make... I mean, if to be a rugby coach, all you need is big players to win the contact, well, then I'll do it. And I'll go and buy some big players. Or you can go and coach and do better than eighth with a massive squad. That would be my view, at least.
So they're also building a car park.
Yes. Now, this is the big news.
Or not building a car park.
Yeah, one of the two.
Oh, I love it. Phil's got some construction news into the podcast.
Of course. So there's going to be a development adjacent to Welford Road that is going to release some funds for them. They're not developing it, though.
Yeah, now I understand this is because, due to law changes, Richard Cockrell made a lot of congestion at the stadium.
Yeah. Richard Cockrell messed up the planning permission first time around. And now Leicester Tigers have sold that land and a developer's doing it properly.
Which is great news, isn't it?
Yeah. All thanks to Matt O'Connor.
Matt O'Connor. Yeah,
He's sorted the whole, or is sorting the whole mess out, and it'll be finished in maybe two seasons' time.
Yeah,
We're going mega niche here.
Are we? I think that's fairly mainstream.
Deep dive into the inner runnings of Leicester Tigers.
Well, why don't we talk about Richard Cockrell? Because he's been rather busy this week.
Releasing players and signing players.
Yeah, basically just binning players. So he's binned Duncan. What's his name? It's not Duncan. What's his name?
Duncan Weir.
Yeah, it is Duncan Weir. He's joined
Nicholas Wonder.
He's joined Worcester, and so is Cornell Dupree.
Cornell McPrea.
Now I don't really know much about him. Is he any good?
He started last weekend when they got hammered against Wales. So on the, and then he got immediately dropped. So on that basis, no.
Not so much. And Sam held the go Klein.
Hidalgo Klein.
Now I'm surprised that one. I thought they might quite like him, but apparently not.
But they're joining a Worcester side that looking very likely to still be in the Avicii Premiership next season.
Yeah,
after an amazing win at Sandy Park. Now when I saw the score, Exeter 5, Worcester 6. And I hadn't seen any pictures or video. I just assumed it was like rain coming in sideways, bog. The conditions were all right.
Well, I mean, they're either playing at Sandy Park, which is a nice pitch, or on 4G or 3G. So
it looked pretty...
No, it was at Sandy Park.
Oh, was
I mean,
it?
The score, 5-6.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
I've watched the highlights of this, and it was pretty blustery. It's very blustery, actually. Pennell missed a penalty from basically directly in front of the post.
Did he?
At least a good chunk of the miss was down to wind. But it wasn't that bad. As in, it wasn't a bog. It wasn't hammering it down. It wasn't snowing. So a bit surprising. But from the highlights I've seen, Worcester look pretty good. Exeter, and highlights is in the loosest sense of the word, because in a 6-5 game, it's pretty limited. But Worcester, they defended manfully. They defended very well. Played the ball in the right part of the field, and it's a hell of a victory, because, as we've spoken about previously, Exeter don't lose that many players on international weekend.
No, they don't. I mean, it's getting that way slowly, isn't it?
It is, and they lost two props. They lost Noel and they lost Simmons.
But their backup props are bloody good.
And Noel's hardly played for Exeter this year, or he's not played as much as he
normally
does.
He's probably not their best winger this year anyway.
Oh, and they signed Santiago Cordero, who made his debut.
Yeah, exactly. So they do lose players. Their squad depth is excellent.
Mm.
So this is a great result for Worcester. And it does
really amazing. And on that, they don't lose Don Armand, but Sale Sharks lose Sam Moore when there's a back row injury.
They certainly do.
This is a tricky
one. Before the Six Nations, when we were talking about who the squads might be, I remember I brought up Sam Moore as a potential bolter for Wales. I just assumed he would end up wearing the red of Wales.
Well,
his uncle was Wales captain and his dad played for Wales.
Yeah, I never assumed that because I've encountered him a couple of times at Sale. I'm like, you know, he was England schoolboys all the way through. He's captain England in the 20s.
So Ross Moriarty.
Yeah, that's it. Well, this is the direct comparison, I guess.
His uncle and dad both played for Wales.
And Gary Graham was Scotland age grade all the way through.
Yeah. But, I mean, to me, it kind of seemed like a bit of a slam dunk that he would play for England. And if he ever went to Wales, it would be a massive coup for Wales rather than the other way around.
There's 26,000 reasons why you pick England, isn't there, anyway?
Yeah, and also there's the fact that you play for Sale Sharks and EPQ is important. You know, and to keep your England qualified player status in a Premiership club, yeah, that does matter, and rightly so.
It should be, and I'll remember who said this to me, but when they said it, I thought, that's it. And I might have said it before. It should be, if you're put up by firing squad and they say, what nationality are you? That should be who you play rugby for.
Interesting.
Sam Moore would say Welsh. Hang on.
I just want to know about that firing squad business. Because can you get it wrong? Because presumably you can't.
No. It's just like, as in, if you were, I don't know, whatever you would say in that scenario, right, whatever the scenario is, but if there's a situation where you just had to give a gut instinct reaction without EQP, without money, just on your emotional, where your heart is, what's your nationality? That's who you should play rugby for.
So they used to talk in the... Oh, I've heard stories of... from the Second World War, when there were spies infiltrated into other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And these spies could have no accent, could speak... So let's say it's a Russian spy in Germany.
Yeah.
Speaks perfect fluent German with no accent, can keep up for years on end the pretends that she is a German woman.
Or he, we must
or
discriminate.
Or he.
Only two genders is a little bit off, mate, but carry on.
Well, apparently, and the reason I'm saying a woman, apparently one of the ways in which spies were found out was under the greatest pain known to man or woman, which is childbirth. And they couldn't help. So there's apparently a case of spies revealing their true language and identity, screaming in pain from childbirth.
Is that right?
So all we need to do is get Sam Moore pregnant, give him an anaesthetic-free delivery of a child, and then we'll know who he should be playing for.
Yes, and also, going back to Tim's firing squad thing, I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do, providing that, like, one in five randomly die. Because otherwise, there's going to be no pressure. It's all just for show.
You're right.
It's kind of like, I often think the same thing about, what is that stupid thing which people do? It's like a run in a field. What's it called? Tough murder.
Oh, right, that one.
Yeah, tough murder should have a mandatory death rate of 5%. Otherwise, it's not a tough murder, is it?
It's not that tough.
Yeah, it's not tough. If it's a 5% chance you might die, yeah, okay, I'll sign up for it.
I have to admit, I'm sure a lot of people love it, JB, but I had to do it once for work.
Did you run past a burning hay bale?
They sponsored the breakfast show that I was working on, and part of the deal was that I had to go and do one with a little like a GoPro strapped to me, and it was pretty soul destroying stuff. Like,
fun.
It's all about. It's not about fitness or anything, or a physical challenge. It's about a Facebook profile picture.
Yeah, yes. Now we're talking.
That is right. Two other bits of transfer news that I just want to mention. There's more than this actually, but Northampton. A bit of news,
yeah.
In both directions, coming from Northampton, one being Kieran Brooks is leaving
to Wasps.
Is that confirmed?
It's not confirmed, but that's what I think. That's what I believe it is.
Not to your beloved Sale?
No. Oh, that'd be interesting. No, it's not. I'm pretty sure it's to Wasps.
But they're bringing in a replacement for George North.
Yes.
Presumably going to be smaller, yeah?
Well, virtually every winger in the world is smaller than George North.
Yeah, so...
Virtually.
Jeff Hassler? Someone like that?
Tekele Nairavolo.
Oh, so not smaller.
Not smaller.
In fact, considerably bigger.
One of only a couple of wingers, both of Fijian origin, who are bigger than George North.
Yeah, he's, what did you say, 124 kg, is it?
I think he's more than that, to be honest.
Really?
Let me see what he's officially... Yeah,
he has slimmed down a little bit recently.
He's officially listed at 123 kg.
Goodness me, that's massive.
6'4", 19 and a half stone.
I didn't realise he was 6'4", though.
I think he's heavier than that as well. Haven't seen him.
Obviously, Northampton quite like George North from, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And they're going for the same again. Good for them.
Absolutely, yeah. But he's 26. He is capped by the Wallabies, unfortunately, because he should really be playing for Fiji, I mean.
Yeah.
But, it could be a very good sign, and he could be very dangerous next year.
Do you know what we missed from the Six Nations podcast?
Go on.
France's flight.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. So this is an interesting bit of news that emerged. It was about midday Monday, wasn't it?
When they were frog marched off the plane. Way.
You love your puns.
Go on.
Well, so I know what I've read, but what I've read is several conflicting reports.
Well, I got a phone call with a report, which I don't know if I should repeat, really. But
just don't say where it came from.
It seems to be that a couple of boys got into... I don't know, how would you... An encounter with a girl. And everyone who was in that encounter has now been kicked off the French squad. The police have said nothing illegal happened. However, Jack Brunel has said this is not becoming of a French international and you've not done your nation proud and therefore got rid of them all. So, good.
So this is kind of like there are parallels with Aaron Smuth.
There is, but this is far more egregious in my mind. I mean, they have let themselves down and they've let their shirt down. And these are good players who are playing well. But do you know what? It was this lack of discipline within the French camp which has led them to the disaster which they are.
Well, we can't have any moral equivalence without knowing factually what did or did not happen.
Well, we do know this.
Or rather, what did happen.
We do know this, that Jack Brunel has taken harsh action. So let's assume something not befitting of the shirts has happened, which, you know, that's fairly safe to say. And, I quite like the idea that someone's going to install some standards and some discipline to the team, particularly if there's 8 lads behaving the way they were. So,
what about letting the boys play?
Yeah, I guess there is that, isn't there? Let the boys... Oh! I'll tell you something else as well. Two of the Scottish under-20s coaching staff have been suspended for a late-night incident in my hometown, Llandudno, after the Scottish under-20s played Wales under-20s.
At RGC's ground.
At RGC's ground in Aries Park.
Well, any more details?
We turned into the News of the World rugby podcast.
No.
This is the Wales Online rugby podcast, mate.
Yeah, no, this is on, I'll tell you what, this is on BBC website. So open that up, it's like Nicky Walker and someone else has been suspended temporarily following an altercation in a late night pub in, I didn't know, which is my hometown.
Along with the French scenario, and to say to this one, suspension is not an implication of guilt of anything.
So certainly nothing illegal.
Yeah,
it's
well. We don't know. It could be that they're just conducting. All I'm saying is,
what are you saying?
Let's not be judge and executioner. If there's anything to come out, it'll come out.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that. So that's this week's scandal section, don't I? I guess.
Yeah, no, I like it. We should make it a regular thing.
If only we had some more scandal to talk about.
It does. It really does decimate the France squad, though.
Yeah, they're so deep, though. Have you seen the guys they've called up?
Well, so I'll just read the list, because there's a few good names that have been called
Sorry,
up.
Sorry, can I just make some other point about this France thing, right? It's the sheer range of individuals involved in this activity.
Yeah. Well,
that's
yeah.
That's caught my eye.
So, so shall I read the list of players that have been dropped from the squad?
Yes, please.
So, Bellu.
So he's what, 12?
Yeah, yeah. Dante.
Dante, okay.
Ituri. Oh. Lamarat.
Lamarat, okay.
Lambi.
Lambi.
Lepandri.
Okay.
McAloo.
Yep.
Pickamalls.
So he's like 30-something.
Yeah.
Yeah. King Louis, what are you doing?
And probably most frustrating for French fans, the exceptional Teddy Thomas.
Yeah, there is literally a lad in that group from every sort of rugby generation involved in that squad. Like, you'd have thought they'd be, you know, a little bit cliquey, but no, they're obviously very close as a group.
Yeah. But there's, because did you see the Montpellier's announcement around this?
No.
And this is not Montpellier, the rugby club, or the French town. This is Montpellier's, the company that owns bars in Edinburgh.
Oh, no.
But they, so they were, I know, it was a bit confusing when I read this first time. I was like, what are Montpellier doing about this? Oh, no, it's a bar chain in Edinburgh.
Okay.
So they're in Tiger Lily, which I believe we were in over the summer, Jay, in one of our trips up. Oh, were you there?
No, I wasn't there.
No, you weren't there. I believe I was there. No implication of guilt, of course.
No.
On my part. They said, just made a completely bland statement and said, they were there, they were perfect gentlemen, there was no trouble at all that they saw.
Oh, that's good.
Which is, yeah, great. So, but there's completely conflicting stories from everywhere that I've looked on this. So I don't know what to believe.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Interesting.
I wonder if they'll get called up before the next game. Like, okay, we've punished you. Come on, boys. But you come. Or if Jacques Brunel's serious.
Well, so he's brought in replacements for all those players.
Yeah. And they're good replacements, too.
There's some very good replacements.
Well, they're big names.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest names, Bastereau, Ficou, Gautier,
Tandouk,
Grosso, Leroux, Taufifenua, and Tranduc.
Yeah.
So, some big names.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if it translates into discipline on the field, because, yeah, France not famed for discipline on or off.
Yeah.
And it could just be, of course, that maybe we're going to hear some stories, you know, like Bastereau falling over and hitting his head on a coffee table kind of stories.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. So, let's move away from France's indiscretion. Let's go back to the Premiership.
Actually, just
In terms of scandal section, some people have tried to make it a scandal. I don't believe in any way it is, but Wasps going over the salary cap.
No scandal. Ooh!
Well, the interesting bit was the penalty. So they are penalised 50 pence in every pound they went over.
Yeah.
And that's a sliding scale as well. So if you go up to £50,000 over, and the reason Wasps went over is because one of the agents who has several of their players on their books moved from overseas to the UK, which upped their... Suddenly VAT was included, and you're working on a projection basis where you're anticipating what you're going to spend. So they went, what was it, £40,000 over?
Something like that, yeah, 40-something.
And it's 50p in the pound, like you say, £20,000 fine as a result, or penalty. If you go over £50,000, it's £1 for every pound.
Why has...
And then there is an amount where if you go over by that much, it's £3 for every pound you go
Ooh.
Over.
So why has Dave Attwood gone to Toulon? What's the official reason?
Recovering from injury, so rehabilitation, to get his head right.
Is that what you've heard, Tim?
Well, that's what Bath and Dave Attwood said.
Didn't mention that they might have gone massively over the salary cap and needed to get him off the books. Because that is the conspiracy theory, which has a lot of legs at the moment.
Interesting. He'll be a highly paid player.
He is a highly paid player.
England money.
Yep. So that's why he's been shipped off to Toulon, which makes more sense, because he's a hell of a player as well.
But he's hardly played, has he?
No. So that's probably a good reason to let him go. Even though it's on loan, is it not?
It is. Yeah, he's back next year.
So, yeah, that is what I've heard. That is a conspiracy theory.
Interesting theory.
Yeah. My phone's been very busy for the last few few days.
Hmm.
Shall we talk about this week?
As for what's on the field, so you doubled down on England downfall 2018.
Yep, that's happening.
You're going to have to address this, where you have been highly critical of Wasps. They're reliant on Danny Cipriani.
Yep.
They were outstanding.
Were they? Was Danny Cipriani good?
He was very good.
He was very good, but they played for 60 minutes with 14 men and put in a hugely spirited defensive effort as a team.
Kind of.
And Danny Cipriani, after the game, said that was the defensive effort from guys like Jack Willis, who is looking to be an absolute star in the making.
He does look good.
With a bedrock. So the sort of flaky or frail vibe you might have got of Wasps, I don't think it exists. And
no, I mean,
with players like Elliot Daly to come back in and
just to reiterate, my criticism of Wasps is they are Danny Cipriani centric. They're very reliant on him, and they rely on him to create everything going forward. And when he isn't ticking, that's their problem. And I think they rely too much on talent, not on systems. So nothing really changed my mind after that Harlequins defeat, I'm afraid, or victory, I should say.
It was a big team effort. I would say that was a team win. Not reliant on individuals.
Oh yeah, well that's the other thing. Danny Cipriani's announced that he's leaving Wasps, and we never spoke about that.
He is leaving Wasps.
That's fairly old news now, but I have no idea where he's going. La Rochelle seems to still be the favourites.
Japan and France.
Yeah,
is that what you think? Japan.
Well, that's what's being mentioned.
Ah, I wonder if Sale Sharks would be interested.
Diamond's had that problem before.
Yeah, I don't think Diamond needs any more lads like that under him at the moment. Let's put it that way.
He's got his hands full.
I'd say so.
On the Wasps Harlequins, it was a tremendous performance by Wasps. They're exceptional across the board. On the other hand, very disappointing for Quins.
Absolutely.
I mean, is the story not here that just Quins are just... I mean, what's going on?
Well, they win when it doesn't matter. They lose when it matters.
I mean, what are they? Ninth, tenth? Ninth in the table.
Let me just confirm. Yeah, they are ninth. Leicester eighth.
That's not
Quinn's ninth. Northampton.
It's very congested in the middle there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's just not good enough. And to think they've extended their coaches' contracts too is madness, really.
Yes, interesting. But the two hits from Eastman. Have you seen this?
Yeah, in the same phase of play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just looked like his head had gone completely, certainly by the second one, and then basically wanting to fight every Harlequins player on the pitch.
Weird that, isn't it? Weird for a seasoned professional who, I think if he was fit, would have genuine England aspirations.
Well, he's played for England on a number of occasions and played well on several occasions.
He's one of these guys, no matter who you ask who's played with him, they'll always say he's one of the best players they have ever played with. You know, his speed, his hands, creativity, the lot. He's got everything except for size. And yet he does something so stupid.
So, AD Gardner, who used to be a strength and conditioning coach at Sedgley, said he was the most explosive player he's ever played with or against.
Yeah.
And AD Gardner's played with and against some pretty handy players.
Well, we went for a beer and interviewed Rob Webber, and he said he was just an incredible player to play with. Carl Fern says the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone that's played with him says the same thing. You just can't get it together. By injury or discipline
I was going to say injury. Discipline hasn't really been something you associate with him, but it was odd to see him lose his head. He's got a 6-match ban from it.
Yeah.
Going back to Quins, John Kingston said afterwards that they had a really great week in training. They had the game to win on a number of occasions, and they let themselves, the fans, their families, the club down.
Yeah.
He didn't hold back.
I completely agree with John Kingston. I think the time has come for a separation there. And I think John Kingston's a good man, good coach, championship-winning coach. But I think he would benefit and Quins would benefit if they just went in different directions.
I can't say I disagree with that, to be honest. It often doesn't work when you have kind of a number two or a coach stepping up into that director's rugby.
Mm.
It doesn't look like it's working for Quins.
Nah.
They're not getting the most out of what is an expensive and talented squad.
And you'd imagine he'd walk into a job somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. But not as a director of rugby.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Probably a head coach. I don't know. He'd definitely get a job, but what that job is, I don't know.
Forwards coach, head coach, but not a director. Like, we can only judge his director of rugby performance on what we've seen.
Yeah.
And it's not particularly good.
Correct. Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
So,
next week's games?
Yeah.
Unless one last thing.
Very briefly, a horrible match. London Irish looking like they're potentially doomed. They could have, should have, would have, all the rest of it. They had a golden opportunity to beat Sale. They weren't at their best, but that was a tight game. What other matches were there?
Yes. By the way, we're missing something else. Sale Sharks moved to sixth, and they're within striking distance of fourth.
Yep. Currently in fourth, and they had an impressive win against Leicester.
They did. Yeah, it was a good performance by Gloucester, it was particularly after Leicester went. It was two tries up. Leicester went, wasn't it?
Now, what is the England situation this weekend? I.e., the players that played for England, do they get the week off?
Well, there are seven players. Have you got that list, Phil? There are a number of England players that have been released back to their clubs. So you assume that's to play for their team, which is, I've got it here. Hold on. Where is it?
Yeah, I've just brought in. It's taken me to one.
Seven players returned to their club. Yeah, Marcus Smith.
Okay.
He played for Quins last weekend anyway. Luke Cowan-Dickey to Exeter. Zach Mercer going back to Bath. Dennis Olomona to Sale. Sam Moore to Sale. Nick Ezekwe to Saracens. And Gabriel Ibatoyi back to Quins.
So does that mean George Cruis is not going to play? Yeah. And Itoje is not going to play? And they don't have Billy and they don't have Farrell?
Yeah.
And they don't have they don't have Wiggy?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, no, you're thinking of this with your Sale Sharks hat on.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, they've got an awesome squad. They'll get the replacements, but I get to watch all of those guys come up to the AJ Bell on Friday, so that'll be an interesting one.
A game live on BT Sport.
That is the one, yeah.
Are you working that game, Tim?
Nope.
Who is working? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to go and watch it. In fact, maybe we should all go and watch it.
It's a rare weekend off, so I'm off to the Yorkshire Dales, little cottage in the Yorkshire Dales.
Very nice.
Do you want to go and watch it, Phil?
I quite fancy the Yorkshire cottage. The cottage in the Yorkshire
Dales. I know, shall we all go to Tim's Yorkshire cottage? Surprise!
No, I've got some...
Yeah, what are the games? Newcastle lost to Saracens.
Yep.
I'm just going to say I've got some making up to do after spending last weekend in Madrid and... Valentine's Day in the dungeon.
Yeah, I literally wolfed down a Valentine's meal between 7:30 and 8, interviewed AJ McGinty, then came back.
Do you know what? It's brilliant. So doing a radio show in the evenings when Valentine's Day falls on a weeknight, what an alibi. I just bought a ribeye steak, left it in the fridge.
Oh, what a guy.
Perfect. The other results, Saracens comfortably beat Newcastle. Bath very comfortably beat Northampton, whose Northampton season is just
rubbish, isn't it?
Done.
Just rubbish.
Yeah. And I think we've mentioned everything else.
Well, Leicester losing. Who I think are a couple of, maybe they're a couple of losses away from a firing at this point.
Well, it's interesting after the AGM or whatever it was.
Excuse Fest 2018.
Yeah.
You'd have to wait till the end of the season now. Yeah. I don't like, and even... I don't disagree necessarily with the Quinn situation and John Kingston. It does feel like they should have, you know, had a bit more of a revolution there after Conor O'Shea went rather than just a progression. But so I don't disagree, but I don't like it. Just kind of, there's an element where I go, bloody hell, pull your socks up, some of you, because those Quinn's players. Some of them just really, really underperformed. It's not always on the coaches.
Do you think they just hate each other? I mean, they don't get on. I've said this before.
There are other reasons why they might underperform.
Yeah, but I actually do think they don't like each other. I think across that Quinton squad, I mean, I'm certain watching the body language of a lad like, whose guy I always whinge about?
Which one?
Kyle Sinclair. What, his body language playing the Quins is awful. I mean, it's absolutely awful. So, yeah, I think there are definitely problems with the personalities in that squad rather than anything else. Leicester, a couple of losses from a sacking. Hypothetically, if Leicester did sack Matt O'Connor, who should they go for?
Oh.
I don't know. Do you know what I take it back? They're not a couple of losses away from sacking because they've just appointed Mark Bakewell to be a forwards coach, haven't they?
So I don't think they will. I think he's pretty much safe until at least halfway through next season.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah,
it would be an absolute shambles if they did. So I can't believe that a club like Leicester would do that.
Cap in hand to Aaron Major. Come back, Aaron. It wasn't
Big
that
Stew.
Bad.
Big Stew, yeah.
Ooh. Aaron Major. I'd probably go cup in hand to Aaron Major.
It does just look like such a silly mistake to fire him after four games or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I saw that Ashley Beck is going to an English club. Which one
Worcester.
Was it?
Worcester.
Oh, another Worcester signing. See, Ashley Beck's a perfect example of what the Welsh international rules should be. He's spent 10 years in domestic Welsh rugby. If suddenly he gets good enough to get back in a Wales jersey, he should be allowed.
Exactly. I would like the JB rule to be implemented almost immediately. But, you know, people don't listen to me. I don't know why. They don't.
And do you know anything about Gert Small or Smarl or whatever? The Cardiff Blues are holding talks with him over the head coach position.
Who?
There was some talk it was going to be Jordan Murphy at one point.
I've never heard of him. Who is he?
No, I've not heard of him either.
Is he South African?
South African. He played for South Africa in the 80s. He has coached Rugby Rovigo, Border Bulldogs, Western Province, Stormers, South Africa for 3 years, Ireland.
Should have known who he is then.
And Western Province.
So can you name some players that played for Border Bulldogs?
No, but I can name some players that played for South Africa.
Well, I'll name some who played for Border Bulldogs. Mike Haley, Sam James, and Baron McGuigan.
In South Africa?
Yeah.
Really? Did they do a year or so out there?
Yeah, he played Currie Cup there.
Wow.
Oh, that's the other thing I was going to bring up. Did you see the little video clips of England scrummaging against Georgia?
I've not seen the clips, but I've read Jones's interview afterwards where he said they learnt quite a lot from the session.
I bet, yeah. What are the clips like, Tim?
It's like there's a bit of scrum porn going on there.
Oh, I bet.
I spend Valentine's Day night just watching this video on my own in a darkened room.
Well, I mean, on a serious note, if you remove the running from rugby, and that's what you do in a scrum session, bloody hell. I mean, that Georgia team is ferocious.
Yeah, and most of them are...
They're probably better than England.
Well, most of them are like cornerstones to top 40 meat grinder packs.
Yeah, they are. And they don't have to do any running, go and scrum, boys. Yeah. And the England boys are, you know, obviously they're very, very high-end rugby players, but wouldn't surprise me if they struggled mightily against those Georgians.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that reminds me, I forgot to mention, when you were talking about George Cruz earlier, you know, he's been dropped out of the squad and Charlie Yules is back in.
Ah, so he will play.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know what's going on with George Cruz. Mm.
There or thereabouts, just there's
anyway, apparently
depth.
Georgia were like dominated England for the first bunch of scrums. Wayne Barnes was there refereeing, and then England started to get a bit of parity and actually won a couple of penalties at the end.
Oh, really? Did they make him run around the field and then re-engage?
Yeah, and then poor old Courtney Laws was watching on. He wasn't fit enough to take part or whatever, and he was boxing on the side of the pitch watching it.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch these videos now. I can't wait. Yeah.
Where are they available? I might just stay down in the dungeon for another hour.
I think it's the England Rugby Channel.
I'll check their Instagram. Yeah, I'll find them. Don't worry about me.
You'll find them. They did do a little bit of sort of semi-opposed, just team run type stuff as well.
Excellent. Right,
you want to see that. When you've got big hulking Georgian players, you want to see it full-blooded or nothing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, shall we do next week's games?
Yes.
Let's do it. So, starting off in the Pro 14.
Okay.
Friday night, Connacht host Zebra.
Connacht.
Zebra. Connacht. Osprey.
I'm going to the Connacht ground for the quarterfinal.
Excellent. That'll be brilliant. Love to go there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm really interested to go and check it out.
It's meant to be a cracking ground.
The sports ground in Galway.
Yeah, because it's right next to the city, apparently.
Hmm. Yeah.
Do you know who it's owned by?
That sports brand that they have on the shirts?
Nope. Cool. Do you know, Tim?
By the Father Ted franchise?
Do you know what? That's achingly close. Achingly close. I think, I'm pretty sure, you'll have to look it up, I'm pretty sure it's owned by like the Dog Racing Association of Ireland or whatever you call them.
Amazing.
Talking of dogs, hello, mates.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Right, we're getting very, very distracted. Next game.
Yep.
Also Friday night, Ospreys versus the Southern Kings. It's going to be a home win.
Yep.
Yep.
Glasgow host Cheetahs, which will be interesting, actually. Glasgow without...
everyone.
A dozen internationals, yeah.
And Cheetahs are pretty good.
Take him.
Yeah. Cheetahs not as good on the road. Give me Glasgow.
Okay.
Then Ulster host Edinburgh.
Ulster hosting Edinburgh.
Also, Johnny McPhillips.
Johnny McPhillips continuing at 10.
Yeah, he started last week and played well in the very comfortable win over the Southern Kings.
Okay. Ulster.
Give me Ulster. On Saturday, we have... Oh, wait. That's the wrong Saturday. Saturday the 17th. We have Cardiff hosting Munster. Munster.
Yep.
And yep. Leinster hosting Scarlets. Which on another weekend would be an incredible fixture.
Such a shame they play it now,
such
isn't it?
Such a joke.
This will actually still be a good fixture because they've both got pretty deep squads.
Scarlets haven't really.
Scarlets not as much as Leinster.
Yeah, I mean Scarlets shorn of their back row players, shorn of their half backs, shorn of their centres. And their, you know, one of their wings and their fullback. Yeah, it's not.
Give me Leinster.
Yeah, give me Leinster. Oh, and their whole front row.
And then the final game on Sunday, Dragons host JB's beloved Benetton.
Here we go, boys. Benetton to stroll this one.
Benetton, who do lose half their team.
Yeah, but they won last week.
And Dragons, who lose virtually no one. Who did they beat last week?
Scarlets.
Win against Scarlets.
Yeah, big, big win.
Give me the beloved Benetton then.
Here we go, boys.
I'll go Dragons at home.
Dragons. Okay,
whatever.
Premiership. So, Friday Night Lights. Newcastle host Bath. Bath, who enjoyed a very good win, very handy win, with Burnsy pulling the strings.
I just don't know about Bath. I just can't work them out. I know Newcastle are slowly getting better, and I know they can play nice rugby. And Bath seem to win games I don't expect them to and lose games that I don't expect to. I just don't know.
I think Bath on the road might do it.
Newcastle,
they were poor against Saracens. So,
yeah, do you know
Newcastle,
what?
Newcastle are very good at home. Bath are not nearly as good on the road.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Newcastle.
Narrow Bath.
I think that'll be quite a nice open game. Because it's two teams that can play rugby when they want to.
Yeah. Yeah, narrow Bath win for me.
Okay, then JB will be at the AJ Bell.
Yeah, I will be.
Beloved Sale Sharks.
I'm
going as a fan of the game.
Yeah.
I think Sale will do this.
It'd be a good one if they do.
Yeah, do you know what? Actually, I'm not sure they will. I tell a lie. And the reason I don't think so is because both starting tens are out. AJ has got a knee problem and O'Connor has got a cough strain, so he won't be playing.
Are they going to play Sam James?
Sam James will have to play there. And I think they'll probably go Luke James, who's very inexperienced at 12.
Well, he did last week, yeah.
Yeah, so...
What about Jennings?
Jennings is fit, actually. So maybe Jennings comes back in. He's a big old boy, actually.
And what's going on with... They're not picking Marlon Yard? What's going on there?
A slight injury, mate. Slight niggle. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's just not right.
Really?
That's what I hear.
Slight injury.
Interesting.
Well, I hope he gets well soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so how do we see that one go? I think, it's this time of year Saracens start cranking through the gears. But I think it will be very close.
Yeah, this will be very close.
I think the Sale pack do okay here. And Sale are very, very good scrummagers. I don't think Saracens are that good. And I think they're going to struggle. It's going to be tight. I think that much I can be sure of. I don't think Sale have the experience at 10 and 12 if they go with the combo that I think. There again, they do have a 10-12 combo that know each other very well. So that could conversely help. And a lot's going to rest on the shoulders of Faf. If Faf can do what Faf does.
Yeah, he'll... some Faf magic. But the opposite 10-12, Lazowski and Barrett, are pretty handy and pretty experienced.
Yeah, that is not a good matchup in any way. Because I tell you what they will struggle with in that channel is Lazowski's pace.
Yeah.
Massively with his pace. Yeah. In that case, narrow Saracens win, I'm afraid.
Yeah, Saracens by three.
There we go.
Saturday, we have Leicester hosting Harlequins, 3 o'clock kickoff.
Ooh.
Which both teams disappointing.
Huge game.
8th and 9th in the table. Leicester at home.
Who would you most like to see finished lower down?
Interesting. Historically, I quite like both Leicester and
I like
Harlequins.
Them. I like them as clubs. Yeah, there's no two about that.
It feels like certainly historically they do a lot of things well and a lot of things right.
But from a Schadenfreude point of view, who would you like to see down there?
Well, probably Leicester because I as I said before, I don't really like the way that they brought in Major and then gave him nowhere near enough time and then just brought back O'Connor.
Yeah. I think I'm with you there. They're recruiting horribly wrong. One because they're far too loyal, and the other because they're not nearly loyal enough. So
I will say that I'll just pick it on the stash, and I think Leicester's kit is not great compared to Quinn's. So
Quinn's kit is very nice.
Mm.
Give me Quinn's on their kit.
Quinn's at Quinn's at Welford Road.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen
when
in a million years.
When you think Quinns aren't going to win, they'll do something special.
I've got to pick Leicester.
Okay.
Got to go.
Quinns are going to have Marcus Smith and Leicester are going to have Joe Ford. So it's, if Quinns are going to take Leicester at Welford Road, it's this weekend. But I don't. I see Leicester winning this one.
I see Leicester winning it.
And thereby, whichever team loses.
Hang on, Leicester are missing both their halfbacks, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we can probably say whoever loses this game is not going to make top six.
Yeah, I don't think. Do you think
It's still close. They still could turn it round.
Do you think either of these teams are making top six?
Well, these teams are both aiming for top four. Let's not forget.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they've already failed miserably.
Yeah. So this game is last chance saloon for top four.
Yeah,
and a loss is you're staring down the barrel at even being able to get up to sixth.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
It's seven. Oh, never mind. There's seven games left after this, to be fair.
But it's such a competitive league.
At least it puts Leicester in a good chance of winning silverware. European Challenge Cup next year.
So you two are saying Leicester, I'm saying Quinns. Then Northampton, London Irish. This genuinely could be a London Irish win.
Yeah, I quite fancy London Irish for this. They'll be disappointed with the Sale result last week.
At Franklin's Gardens?
Oh, yeah, why not? No one's going to show up to it. I mean, I say that in jest, but actually, you know, the attendances in Franklin's Garden have gone down. The enthusiasm from the fans has gone down. It isn't the fortress it was when they were top four.
The way Northampton are playing, I think it is definitely possible to see an away win here, a London Irish win.
Yeah, do you know what? I might have a little Leo Vegas flutter on that.
Interesting.
I'm not having that. Well, I mean, yeah, it could happen, but no. They just lost to Sale at home. They're not going to Franklin's Gardens, where actually Northampton haven't lost under Alan Gaffney.
Yeah, but Sale are substantially better than Northampton.
That is true. That is definitely fair. And the table reflects that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like with like.
So. Last Premiership home game for Northampton. They beat Gloucester.
They did, didn't they?
Still, give me London Irish.
Yeah, but Sale battered Gloucester. How on? Are we talking about who's better, Sale?
I was going to say, how do we get Sale into every conversation?
Because JB only thinks in everything relative to Sale.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see London Irish win. I would. I've got a soft spot for him, and I want them. But I think for London Irish, if who have Worcester got? We'll get to that, won't we?
We will. Which is the next game? So Worcester host Gloucester.
In our Leo Vegas. Oh no!
No! Yeah. We're all cool. Lined up for that one.
So Worcester, having gone to Sandy Park, will feel very confident on home turf. Beating Gloucester, and if that happens,
and Gloucester are beatable.
Gloucester are another one that they're playing some nice rugby. They are top four, but they can lose to anyone on the day. They conceded 50 odd points to Sale, as you were going to say before.
Yes, they did,
and that was at a time when they'd beaten Exeter at home, and they were winning some nice games. Did they beat Saracens?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they beat Saracens. They beat a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And Sale absolutely dismantled them with ease. One of the worst performances I've seen from Gloucester.
So this could be a Worcester win.
I like their chances.
Yeah, I do. God, I'm going for some unlikely results this week.
Nice accumulator, isn't it?
Yeah.
It all comes off.
And then, the final game.
I've not got the music, so don't bother with it.
You've not got the music?
No,
okay.
I have to turn Tim up.
The Leo Vegas Bet of the Week, leovegas.com. Get their app and, do some betting.
There you go, done. So, who have we got?
We have got repeat of last year's final, Wasps host Exeter. And Wasps on the back of a tremendous away win, 44 points, with a man down for most of the game.
And they are and where?
It's at the Rico,
yeah.
And they are hosting Exeter, who are on the back of a crushing loss to second from bottom in the table, 6-5 at Sandy Park.
I don't think the loss matters really to Exeter. I don't think that's how they operate.
So I actually think it will spur them on a bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's actually a more ammunition for them to correct the wrongs.
It's probably a good time to lose. They're still not going to relinquish top spot on the table. It's all about performance with those guys. I'll see what they've done wrong, they'll put it right. In terms of the guys I've lost, Cowan Dickey's back. Pretty much the whole pack is intact. Certainly the back row is intact. Halfbacks are there. I'm not sure who they lose other than Noel and
Wasps. Did you see their bench last weekend?
Nope.
It had on it Matt Mullen back.
Nice.
Gabby Lovabalavu.
Nice.
Jimmy Gopeth.
Yep.
Who are Nathan Hughes, who won't be available to them, obviously.
Unless he's going to get some match.
Surely he would be, though.
Match fitness.
I'd play him. Get him match. Yeah, exactly.
Martin.
No, I think England, he's so important to England that they'll do they'll work him in training camp, not in a game.
Yeah, it's a fairly handy bench. Oh, that's
something which I heard, just talking about something completely different.
Okay.
So rugby league players are fit, right?
Fit, yes.
Yeah, fit.
Yeah. Absolutely, in the number of tackles and collisions, so carries and tackles they have per game is way higher than rugby union.
Yeah,
high, like two or three times.
The hitting the deck and getting up—that is long busting stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
So I think it was one of the Hull teams. I overheard an interview with their coach, and the coach is, I want to say Jamie Peacock. No, Jamie Peacock, the other one, the other massively hard northern bloke.
Adrian Morley.
Thank you. It's weird, isn't it, how you know that immediately?
Well, those two were like
interchangeable
England props for such a long period of time, weren't they?
Yeah, hard as nails.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Adrian Morley, I listened to an interview with him, and he was saying that they've done their pre-season. I can't remember the exact phrase, but it's like an off feet pre-season. So they're not straining any of their joints, any running, anything. They're just doing all watt bike to get fit. And he says they're as fit as any team in the league, probably fitter.
I can't help but think that is. So, yeah, taking some of the stress off the joints is good, but surely it's not the same.
It sounds mad, doesn't it? But,
yeah.
You know, that's what they've decided to do. And apparently the results have been tremendous.
Hmm.
I guess
I'm imagining, like, Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV just in some laboratory, just getting him running round on, they're getting people running round on an indoor track and running up incline running machines.
Exactly what I'm thinking, actually. Exactly the same. I guess the other point is, if you've got big hulking men, and rugby league aren't that big, actually. But for rugby union, that they are, maybe getting them off their feet means they can work harder to a certain degree.
That's like saying go and run, and then when you actually go to the competition, you like put a backpack on and run.
Well, it's more like saying you're going to be doing a marathon, but only train by riding your bike.
Yeah.
Well, or you're going to row across the Atlantic, but only train by riding your bike.
Has anyone used a watt bike?
Yeah, yeah.
Any good?
Well, British Cycling use them.
And there's a video of you using a bloody watt bike.
Oh, with
Canterbury.
With Will Greenwood.
Will Greenwood shouting at you.
Shouting in my ear.
So, Phil, explain to me what the point of a watt bike is. All I understand is it's effectively the same as like a spinning bike, only it calculates the your output in wattage.
Basically, yeah. So you can change the resistance. Resistance is very flexible and adaptable, so you can change that. But it gives you your exact output in watts or calories or whatever. But it also gives you where your peak force is applied. So imagine the application of peak force. Sorry, imagine the movement of your foot as a circle around the pedal.
Uh-huh, like this.
And it will tell you exactly where you are applying your force, and you should be applying a smooth gradient of force from, I don't know, 90 degrees down to what would be 135 degrees.
Ah.
So from like 12 o'clock down to 5 o'clock, something like that. And it calculates that on both feet, so you can tell if you're lopsided, if your technique's smooth.
I can't imagine why this is of any use to rugby league players whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a really poor explanation. I don't know that much about the watt, but I use it a bit for fitness.
Is it true you can't buy one?
I think they're like lease agreements.
I think they're lease agreements too, and you send them back.
Kind of like you can't really buy a photocopier anymore. You can only really lease them.
Mm.
I'm sure someone would sell you one if you wanted one, but no one does. Everyone just leases.
Okay, so here's a shout out to anyone listening. Can you send us a watt bike, just out of principle, and a photocopier?
A photocopier. Well, we'll go to the Rico Arena and pick up a photocopier.
Yes.
We need the Watt Bike Stadium as well, wherever that is.
Do you remember? And this is really going off on a tangent, but we'll come back.
Another one.
Yeah, but we'll come back to rugby. Do you remember the week, right, that Wasps moved into the Rico? And it is memorable because Wasps moved into the Rico, which is a stadium sponsored by a photocopy machine. And the same day, Newport Gwent Dragons tweeted out, "Thank you for our new photocopier."
Wow.
Just to kind of highlight the difference between the two clubs.
Wow.
One buys a
steep. Photocopiers, and then there's Scott Williams with his water dispenser.
Yes. Incredible. Yeah, that is bad.
One little thing, because the Wasps, the Rico Arena pitch is very bare.
Okay.
Hasn't been in good nick. Apparently, part of the reason for that is to have grounds which have grass grow properly, you need wind, and there's not enough wind at the Rico Arena.
Is that
the
true?
So there's some grounds. I think it's Tottenham Hotspur. Because they're building a stadium.
Their old one. Yeah, they're at Wembley at the moment, aren't they?
Well, somewhere like a Premier League ground, they have a wind machine that they just batter like fake Arctic wind at the grass.
Why does that make a difference?
When it blows like that, and when it's put under stress, it roots itself much more.
Oh, is that right? So only if you can connect some watt bikes up to a fan.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're spying some little.
You don't get this on the bloody rugby pod, do you?
No, damn right.
Okay, so I'm saying Exeter to win. Obviously, I'm going to do that.
Ooh, give me Exeter. Backlash.
Exeter won't. I was going to say Exeter won't be poor again, but by all accounts, Exeter weren't terrible. Worcester were just very, very good.
Good, yeah.
I'm saying Wasps have now got massive impact off the bench. They are going to miss Nathan Hughes. Thomas Young is just... This is his time of year now. As the.
Do you think Thomas Young could move to eight? He's so fast.
They've got Guy Thompson, Jack Willis. Who was the back row? Thomas Young.
I'd tell you a team that he would be brilliant at eight.
I know exactly what you're going to say. It's the Scarlets.
Scarlets. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That is a match made in heaven.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Goodness, that really is.
He'd be dynamite for them.
Yeah. I think Wasps are going to sneak this one.
It'll be close. I think there's tries in it.
Danny Cipriani can get them going forward. There's no reason why Wasps couldn't tear Exeter apart like they can tear anyone apart. But I think if you play this game 10 times, Exeter win it 7.
I'd go with that.
Well, Wasps have got good memories of beating Exeter on this ground in big games, so we will, and they'll want they'll want a bit of revenge.
The European
quarter final,
yeah.
And they'll want revenge from Twickenham. So we'll see. It should be an absolute cracker, and obviously live on BT Sport.
Of course.
Standard.
I think we're done.
I think we're all done. Thank God. Let's go home.
Yes. Go and service your wives.
I'm going to go and stop by the Shell garage, pick up some roses and some chocolates if there's any left.
You've left it so late, mate. You may as well hang out here for another hour or so, wait for her to go to bed and then sneak home.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Although I had to do that on Sunday night, Monday morning.
What a nightmare.
Straight from the airport to the dungeon for an hour, home.
Yeah.
Just after 2:15.
Oh, well, dearie me. Right.
Yeah. On that note, I'm off.
Bye-bye.
Laters.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.